Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Charlie Goldsmith. We're here to recap what was an exciting day at Paul Brown Stadium for Bengals fans as the Bengals clinched a spot in the playoffs and won the AFC North with their 34-31 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. It was a game where if you were judging it by first halves, you were sitting there saying, I don't know how this game's going to go after the first half performance by the Bengals. It just looked like the Chiefs had everything that they wanted to do at their will. The Bengals defense looks like they weren't going to be able to slow down Mahomes and his cast of weapons. But as we've seen from Joe Burrow and co with this team, you can never count him out of a game. And that's exactly what he did. The Bengals defense made some adjustments, but the second half comeback was led by number nine.
Yeah. I mean, so this is the kind of moment, the kind of chapter that makes people stars, that makes people superstars in this league. The fact and the confidence that the Bengals had in Burrow on 3rd and 27 to throw a fade down the field to Ja'Marr Chase on an unscripted play that was solely a result of the way Burrow read the play before the snap and a result of Chase's body control on the right sideline. The way that the Bengals had the confidence to put the ball in Burrow's hands on 4th down at the goal line shows you everything to know about this team, how it was built, the mentality they've been trying to play with from the start. These are the moments when you outduel the two-time reigning AFC champions and Patrick Mahomes to clinch a playoff berth and clinch a division title. These are the moments that show you who you are. And we know, again, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, you got 2 stars.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the tale of two halves, Charlie. So the first half, as I just mentioned, the Chiefs offense looked unstoppable. Patrick Mahomes, and it wasn't just Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. He was hitting Pringle. He was hitting a bunch of other receivers. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but my guess is he would have hit at least 8 or 9 different players in this game had a catch for Kansas City. He was throwing bombs down the field. It wasn't even like they were just short underneath passes. I mean, he was hitting these guys 30, 40 yards down the field. There wasn't a lot of pass rush coming from the Bengals, but they let up a lot of explosive plays, which is to be expected against the Chiefs to some degree. But the important thing was is they made some adjustments. And I thought something interesting about Patrick Mahomes, what he said following the game was, he said, from film study, most of the time they actually call the blitz. They would drop people out and cover some of those guys underneath. And he said, we had a really good plan for that. The Bengals defense was ready. You'll talk about it more here, I'm sure. But Lou Anarumo dialed up a number of different blitzes and got a lot of different players involved. And it finally seemed to work in the second half.
I mean, it was all about the pass rush. You guys know this by watching Joe Burrow, that when that quarterback has time, and I'm saying that's true with Burrow and that's true with Mahomes, the ability to make extended plays and the accuracy and the explosiveness outside the pocket is so dynamic that if you're not creating pressure quickly, you're going to be running into a wall. And like I'm thinking of 2 plays right now where the Bengals were able to change that narrative in the second half. It didn't work in the first half. They gave up so many explosive plays, more than I can remember in any single game this season, just in the first half alone. But in the second half, I remember a play like Larry Ogunjobi chasing Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket and basically forcing him into the sideline. I think of plays like that last 3rd down in the 4th quarter with about 6 minutes left, the Chiefs' final drive of the game. I think of Jesse Bates getting called into blitz and creating that pressure and forcing Mahomes to kind of check the ball down, I believe, to for the drive-ending play. The mix of the better play up front and more well-timed blitzes both worked really well to kind of limit those explosive plays in the second half.
Yeah, I thought Anarumo got really creative with the players he was going to get involved to try and, as he said this week, you have to affect Mahomes to have a chance. And they really did that in the second half. Okay, so let's talk about the offense, because the second half, it looks like a different game plan from Zach Taylor. And I thought they had a lot of success running the ball with Mixon early on in the game. And that kind of unlocked the Bengals passing attack, which I thought was interesting, Charlie, because the Bengals defense had been very good against the run. They were the ones letting up the runs to Kansas City, whereas Cincinnati hasn't been all that great all season long at running the ball. And they were having success against the Chiefs defense. And then, you know, we can do a whole segment on Ja'Marr Chase, but let's just talk about, what do you think the approach from Zach Taylor was heading into this game?
So you raised a really good point with the run game. And honestly, it's something I kind of forgotten. There was a series, I think, in the third quarter, kind of one of those general marches mm-hmm. down the field as the Bengals climb back into the game, where you were getting Mitchell Wilcox snaps. You were getting Fred Johnson as the extra offensive lineman snaps. You were getting heavy personnel. And they never abandoned that area of the game, even though the run offense wasn't as explosive as it was against, say, Las Vegas. But at the end of the day, the Bengals kind of had the balance that you expected them to have at the start of the season. Target distribution that was impacted by the coverage mostly. Mm-hmm. I think kind of the attention T. Higgins was getting is what made Ja'Marr Chase the featured guy today. You saw using the running backs, I thought, effectively in the pass game like they have before. Again, the play action stuff wasn't necessarily working as well against this Chiefs defense for a couple reasons. So you had Burrow lining up more in shotgun formation. That kind of creates more opportunities for Chase in the drop back game. All that kind of clicked. And once the offense kind of figured that out at halftime, how they would be able to kind of combat a Chiefs pass rush that was dominant in the first half, the game flipped.
So you just kind of unlocked Ja'Marr Chase. So let's just head there right there. I don't have the numbers in front of me in terms of yards after catch, but I think that's where we should start with Ja'Marr Chase. For the last couple of games, he has made his name with his ability to get yards after the catch. I mean, the touchdown play that really set it off for the Bengals, and I don't even, how was it, 60 yard or the,
which one?
Oh yeah, I know, I could talk about all three.
73 and a 69.
Yes.
I think,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But the one where he just took a slant and it basically just outran four players in the Chiefs secondary. I mean, where do you even begin with the season that he's had? And I think the most important thing with Ja'Marr Chase is he hadn't had a game where he kind of really took over since the Baltimore game. I went back through the numbers for the last time that they've played. Last week when they played the Ravens, he didn't have a game with over 100 receiving yards until today. So the last time that happened was October. He's back in a big part of this offense again when it matters most. And I think that's like all Zach Taylor could probably ask for, because you said T. Higgins got the attention today. Well, next week, I mean, obviously, who knows if Ja'Marr Chase is even going to play. But my point is in the playoffs, who are you going to take away with this offense?
It's the circle of life with the Bengals wide receivers. You take one away, another pops up. What's impressive about Chase is two things. One, Chase is figuring things out. We're seeing that. And two, the Bengals coaching staff is figuring out in real time other ways they can maximize Chase. And you've seen a lot of that both over the last 2 weeks. So like last week against the Ravens, he's that, I think the first drive of the game or the second drive of the game, Chase is that toe tap sideline catch against the soft zone where Burrow makes the quick throw to the right sideline and Chase taps his toes kind of at the two and stays in. Chase hadn't made a catch like that I'd seen ever in training camp, in the preseason, in a regular season game. And then on Monday of this week, he spoke about the specific things he's done to improve his body control in those situations, the focus, and again, the rules he follows. He's learned that. And his ability on the sideline is now something he has in his game. And that came up multiple times today. And then the second piece of that is the Bengals coaching staff figuring out how to use him. They admitted this. They kind of stumbled into something in the Baltimore game. The Ravens did a lot of zone blitzing. They put Chase in the slot. And when they zone blitz, they got Chase the ball quickly, kind of underneath on a crossing route kind of thing. And Chase broke a lot of those plays for big yards against the Ravens. They did that again today against the Chiefs defense that zero blitzed a lot. Chase's big plays over the top down the sidelines will create most of the attention. But don't discount how the Bengals have kind of figured out what Chase can do as a slot receiver as well.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point, Charlie. And I don't think we talk about it enough is, team, we expect teams to be like finished products on a week one. And there is something to be said for the way a team can evolve and grow throughout a season. Zach Taylor's a perfect example of, look, he went for it on fourth down twice, to end the game. And there were a lot of questions, should they have just kicked the field goal? Do you remember week one when he was regretting going for it on fourth down against the Vikings? When you think about the way coaches and players can grow and evolve throughout the season, I think the Bengals are a very good example of why you shouldn't judge a team by how they're playing in September, because the Bengals have improved throughout the entire season, including Ja'Marr Chase, who we've been critical of when he's had drops because the expectations were so high of him when the Bengals, drafted him where they did. But he has gotten better as the season's gone on. You said he's figured it out, and he's also made the plays when his quarterback needs him to make it. And I think enough can't be said about the way that Ja'Marr Chase hasn't hit a rookie wall. He's getting better, and I think the Bengals are going to count on him big time in the postseason.
You want to talk about improvement? The NFL doesn't give a most improved award, and if they did, it probably wouldn't go to Burrow because that's not usually where the narrative would be, but I don't think there's a more improved player in the NFL, literally the entire NFL, than Joe Burrow this season. Joe Burrow last season played probably in the 15 to 20 range as a quarterback. Right now, I think he is a top 10 quarterback, and right now he's playing like a top 5 quarterback. In this game, in the situations the Bengals were in, there were very, very few quarterbacks who can make the sideline throw to T. Higgins, who can... I think Burrow's accuracy on that 69-yard touchdown throw to Chase will be really underrated, who have the confidence and composure. And I'll go back, as I'm sure a lot of the decision-making against the blitz on that last six-minute drive to end the game was really impressive. The Chiefs were throwing a lot at him. His accuracy, and I've talked about this a lot, his explosiveness outside the pocket, his elusiveness outside the pocket, and his decision-making outside the pocket are straight up elite. And those are incredibly improved skills that have Burrow exactly the guy the Bengals hoped he would be.
I asked him after the game today, I said, do you think you're playing best you've ever played in your career? And in typical Joe Burrow fashion, he said, yeah, I do. I'm reading things better than I ever have. And when you think about the postseason, what do you think about? Good defenses. All the teams that are going to get into the postseason have good defenses. He's going to face a lot of veteran defensive coordinators who have been in the postseason and know how to probably try and rattle a young quarterback. But I mean, you might as well forget the fact that Burrow is in his second year. Like, can we all just basically think, okay, he's in his fifth or sixth year, because the way he's playing, it doesn't look like anything fazes him, doesn't look like anything confuses him, and he is locked in. And I think what I wanted to bring up on this podcast for all of our listeners to hear is, I don't think there's a player who appreciates being a Bengal more than Joe Burrow. He said following the game today that it just means more being from Ohio and knowing the history of the Bengals that he does, to be able to bring this type of joy and excitement to the Bengals fans, that he is single-handedly Joe Burrow. Obviously, it's a team game, so there's a lot that goes into it. But Burrow is responsible for the resurgence of the Bengals.
And now's the part where you give the Bengals credit. I'm not a big outside narratives guy. And before the draft, I didn't believe that Burrow wouldn't be put in the position to succeed with Cincinnati. But when Burrow's at the combine, the first question he was asked was, if you were drafted by the Bengals, would you show up? And that showed a lot about the heat the Bengals were taking before they drafted him, the doubt and the external perception that existed that the Bengals couldn't develop a quarterback the way they needed, or the way Burrow deserved, that they weren't the right franchise for Burrow. And here you are 2 years later, where the Bengals have gotten the most out of Burrow and have Burrow playing at the level that I was describing earlier. I think the Bengals deserve credit for this as well. You know, Sam Hubbard and Joe Burrow both spoke about the heat they've seen the organization take over the last two seasons. And today was a big proof of concept for what the Bengals have done, what they've built for Zach Taylor, for the offense as a whole, and what they've been able to develop, because Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are playing as well here as they could anywhere.
Well, and speaking of giving credit, let's talk about the credit that should be given to Duke Tobin in the front office for the acquisition of Trey Hendrickson, who he didn't get a sack today. So unfortunately for him, that streak is going to come to an end. But you could argue that obviously Joe Burrow is the MVP of this team, but has there been a more, Charlie, you would know more on this than I do because you've been here covering this team for years. Has there been a more important free agent signing than Trey Hendrickson in terms of instant impact in like the last 10 years?
Well, that's the beauty of it. You were talking about, you're talking about, you're allowed to evolve over the course of the season and who you are in September and who you are in January. One of the biggest changes I've ever seen in my time covering sports have been the Bengals transforming from a team that was never heavy spenders in free agency to then having a record-setting free agency in 2020, followed with a record-setting free agency in 2021. The Bengals never had a bigger free agent acquisition than Hendrickson because that's not how they were trying to build a team. They made a pivot in 2020. Part of that probably was, some of the input of the coaching staff. That's really what changed. Mm-hmm. Duke Tobin had more influence, but in an organization where the coaches in particular play a huge role in scouting, that probably was a big piece of the puzzle overall in the Bengals' overall, shift in free agency. So, the only other argument I can think of is, I'm sure there are some in the 80s and the early 2000s that I'm discounting, bargain players that ended up being big. Bobby Williams, a guard who ended up having a long, nice career with the Bengals in the early 2000s. But in terms of massive spending and free agency, you know, Chidobe Awuzie, DJ Reader, Trey Hendrickson are some of the best free agents the Bengals have ever signed.
Yeah, and you can tell Trey Hendrickson. Actually asked him, I said, does it feel extra special for you knowing you left an organization with the Saints where they're pretty much expected with Sean Payton to be in the playoff conversation every single year? And he was a part of some really good Saints teams. I saw them firsthand when I was covering the Falcons, who played the Saints twice a year. Trey Hendrickson came to Cincinnati not knowing what this team would be. They had won 6 games under Zach Taylor. He was excited to come here because he said, I knew we were just a couple pieces away. And Charlie, as you summarized, he was exactly right with Awuzie being added here, Hendrickson, and just like the talent that they've surrounded Burrow to really give Zach Taylor an opportunity to take this team to the new level that they are. Before we go, Charlie, I want to ask you about 2 things. Let's talk about, if you had a vote, would you vote for Zach Taylor to be coach of the year in the NFL?
It's a great question. I'm going to dig deeper into this week because he's certainly in the mix. The Bengals were a team that was projected to, that I projected to win 7 games this season. I got it completely wrong, and I think that's the overall perception as well. I've been really impressed with New England and what Bill Belichick's done. I think Andy Reid deserves a lot of credit. I think Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit. But again, the way, as I was saying earlier, the way the Bengals and Taylor and Callahan and the entire staff have gotten the most out of an offense and most out of young star players, and then the way they've gotten the most out of a defense that had, talk about never played together. You know, they remade an entire front four with the exception of Hubbard and free agency. They drafted linebackers and made them ready to play in 2 years. And in the secondary, they basically reheated an entire secondary with the safety signing and 3 cornerback signings. It's just really impressive stuff how you turn that into a playoff team in such a quick time.
And then the other thing, I'm with you. I need to go through it more. I personally think I would probably give it to Matt LaFleur. And I know you say like, why he's got so much talent, but just the drama he's had to deal with and just how consistent the Packers are. I think I'd probably give him a vote, but Zach Taylor would probably be number 2 for me. I think it's just incredible what he's done in terms of the production he's getting out of this offense and the way he's adjusted throughout the season. The last thing I wanted to get your thoughts on, and we'll dig deeper and have some fun with this over the next couple of weeks, but right now, we know the Bengals are at least going to host a playoff game because that's what happens when you win the division, and that's what they did today. You don't know who because the Bengals still have one more game to play and how the final standings will shake out in the AFC playoff picture, but who do you think would be the best matchup in terms of this is probably the best chance the Bengals have to win to get through the first round of the playoffs?
The top 2 factors I'm looking at is if I'm the Bengals, I don't want to face an elite quarterback and I don't want to face an elite pass rush to me, or an elite defense in particular. To me, that takes off the Chargers and that takes off the Colts. So now you have teams like New England who I think relies a lot on their run game offensively, and I am still a believer in the Bengals overall against run first teams in particular, with a defense that I don't think has the elite playmakers that the Colts have at all 3 levels. So New England's a team that stands out. Other than that, if like the Ravens are able to sneak in, obviously that's an advantageous matchup for the Bengals. I think that just about covers it. I guess the Raiders are still alive too. Apparently they won today. You do have a lot of confidence with the Bengals against the Raiders, a team they've already beat, but I don't know if they'll make it. So overall against the teams that it seemed to be likely to make it, I guess that's the Colts, the Patriots, and the Chargers. I think at the moment I'd take the Patriots out of those 3 teams.
All right. I still think I'm tentative whenever you face the Patriots, just because Bill Belichick's known for getting his team ready to play in January. I think for me, I'd take Bengals Chargers, because I think, as you saw, the Bengals didn't have their best game against the Chargers. And I know you bring up Herbert being an elite quarterback. I just think give the Bengals another chance at the Chargers. And I think I just think they're a little bit tougher than the Chargers. I just think the Chargers can be a little soft and they're still trying to figure out their identity. They have some horrible losses, like to the Texans, and just watching their games, they almost lost to the Steelers at home. I would probably, if I were a Bengals fan hoping to, how does my team get to the next round? I would say the Chargers, but like you said, who knows with Herbert, he could get hot at the right time. They've got a good pass rush. So I think the beauty is we'll get to see it. It'll all be out there next week. But I think I would go with the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm reluctant with Burrow facing anyone in the Bosa family. But gotcha. No, that's a... the Bengals made the playoffs. I mean, at this point, like, in all seriousness, this is such an impressive season and such an impressive turnaround. The fact that you're even having this conversation is such a testament to how much the Bengals have done this season.
Absolutely. Well, Bengals fan, enjoy this moment. It's so hard to get this type of production from a team year in and year out. And based off the way these last 2 years have gone, you guys absolutely deserve it. Charlie and I appreciate you tuning in. And as always, we'll be back next week and throughout the playoffs to make sure you guys are prepared and ready for all of the upcoming Bengals fun.